ยะเอเทนะภูมานิจยัง
เอเทนะภูมานิจยัง
สตุตวาสโตเคนะมัมภเจต
สตุตวาสโตเคนะมัมภเจ
ตสยาสุสัมประสิทเยยัม
สยาสุสัมประสิทเยยัม
สรรพกามาสรรพชวรา
สรรพกามาสรรพชวราย Anyone who, Etena,
by this,
Puman,
human being,
Nityam,
regularly, Stutva,
praying,
Stotrena,
by the verses,
Mam,
me,
Bhajete, may worship. Tasya,
his.
Ashu,
very soon.
Samprasidyayam, I shall fulfill.
Sarva,
all.
Kama,
desires.
Varaishvara,
the Lord of all benediction. Translation. Any human being who prays like Brahma and who thus worships me shall very soon be blessed with the fulfillment of all his desires, for I am the Lord of all benediction. Verse 4. The prayers offered by Brahma cannot be chanted by anyone who desires to fulfill his own sense gratification. Such prayers can be selected only by a person who wants to satisfy the Lord in his service. The Lord certainly fulfills all desires in regard to transcendental loving service, but he cannot fulfill the whims of non-devotees, even when such casual devotees offer him the best of prayers. So Brahma was seen as special to the Lord because of his sincerity. His prayers, his tapasya, his whole endeavor was sincere. So that was what was appreciated by the Lord. So anybody who approaches the Lord sincerely, then the Lord will reciprocate, because he mentions here, he is the Lord of benediction. So all his desires will be fulfilled. In BYO. So Krishna is looking for this sincerity. He's looking because that means relationship will have some meaning. The Lord is not just trying to get something, right? We may be trying to get something, so we don't always worry if the relationships are sincere or not. As long as what we desire we're getting, then we'll be happy, at least for some time, till we start regularly getting what it is we desire, then we start to notice the emptiness of it, the hollowness of it. Then we may consider, well, does anybody actually care? But Krishna, he doesn't have any desires to fulfill, so he starts right with relationship. And so if, therefore, then that sincerity, that is what Krishna is looking for, because in that position, then the relationship will have some depth, will have some meaning. Otherwise, not so much, very shallow. And Krishna is not a shallow person. One of his qualities is Gambhira, so he's very sober, very deep. So then the relationships with his devotees should also be of the same kind of quality. So now, the sincerity then Krishna mentions is that he defines that as that one is making an endeavor with all of one's, with the body, mind, and words. That one is fully trying to engage oneself in understanding the Lord. Right? That's sincerity. Otherwise, if it's partially, then it's not considered sincere. That doesn't mean that one is successful, because someone may say, oh, they're not very sincere, they're not getting a good result. But as Krishna points out, it's Krishna that is doing this. Right? Anything that is there is Krishna. Right? That you have chanted Krishna's glories, the penances he's taken to understand, and the firm faith. These are all to be considered through Lord's causeless mercy. So if we're considering that, oh, the person isn't sincere because they're not getting a good result, then you're saying that their good result is coming from themselves. Right? But it doesn't come from themselves, it comes from Krishna. So if there is success, great, but the point is that the person, according to their ability and their, broadness of consciousness, is able to appreciate or understand the Lord, make that endeavor, then that's in sincerity. Does that make sense? Right. It's not a matter of it's great, then it's sincere. It's a matter of it's focused, therefore it's sincere, according to one's ability to focus. Right? That's why sometimes someone's ability to focus isn't very great, but it's seen nicely. Right? It means, I think there was one small devotee, about 3 years old, they were doing Jagannath Rath Yatra. So they took the Jagannath deity, tied a string around him, and was dragging him around the room. Right? And so then somebody went to Prabhupada and said, you know, what is this nonsense of dragging the deity around? Prabhupada said, no, Rath Yatra. Right? Because the child sees the cart, sees the everything like that. So Jagannath accepts it like that. But at the same time, I mean, in another occasion, then he also said that little kids shouldn't play with deities, right? Because otherwise they may make a mess of the thing. You know, they'll take it as a joke or that. So in other words, if the mentality is sincere, means the focus is complete for whatever their ability, that's that sincerity Krishna accepts. But if it just becomes a plaything or something that, you know, is nice, then it's not. Then the rules come in. Right? So Krishna here is looking at it, one, according to one's ability, that in all times, all places, all circumstances, that he tries to understand the Lord and see the Lord, that sincerity, that endeavor, then Krishna is very happy with. Right? So then in that, all desires are fulfilled, means all desires for service. So this desires for service means it also includes trying to engage the desires in the Lord's service. Right? So it's not just directly the service. It means that we would catch even indirect service, because Krishna is trying to be seen directly and indirectly. So in directly seeing the Lord, that's obvious. But indirect also, one's trying to engage, you know, one's position in the Lord's service. That's very much appreciated by the Lord. And so, therefore, one's desires may be fulfilled there. But they're not being fulfilled simply just because they're a mundane need. They're being fulfilled because this is the interest to engage in Krishna's service. Here, Brahma's prayer here is perform activities that are in the mode of passion. Right? It's not said goodness. You know, it says passion. Krishna mentions that. Even though you will be engaged in generating various progeny, the vicious mode of passion will never approach upon you. Right? So he's going to be performing activities in the mode of passion. But because that's his nature. But that's not a problem. Right? You won't be disturbed by that. So the activity, it's not the ones that are in goodness, the ones that are direct, those ones are very easy to accommodate. But those ones that are not, that are broader than that, that's generally where our broad-mindedness breaks down. Right? Very broad-minded as long as everybody fits within our narrow purview of our perspective. But once it goes beyond that, then it's a problem. Right? So then one has to see is if the desire is by the fulfillment of these desires, one's will be purified and focused on Krishna, meaning the desires are being fulfilled in relationship to Krishna. That's the meaning of the service. Right? Not outside. To satisfy the Lord in His service. So that means either directly or indirectly. Right? Because otherwise, what would be the meaning of fulfilling one's desires not in connection with Krishna? Because they're material. And then then engaging in Krishna's service, which is spiritual. But you're doing both. Right? Does that make sense? It means if you're only engaged in transcendental activities, great, that's best. Only direct service, great. That's the best. But if one is unable to do that, then one shouldn't just finesse one's engagement in fulfilling one's needs and just take it out of the sphere of Krishna consciousness or anything and just call it practical or realistic and then not apply Krishna consciousness upon it. Otherwise, what's the benefit? Right? You fulfill needs, but if it doesn't progress you in Krishna's service, what will be the benefit? So the point is if one's engaged in these things according to Shastra to please Krishna, then this is seeing Krishna indirectly. Right? So then the direct and the indirect are found. So one is always engaged in the Lord's service, right? Arjuna is out there killing enemies, right? Enemies that have insulted his wife, insulted his brothers, like that. He's not out there fighting because they're bad kings and bad managers, right? He's not coming there because we're better kings. They're not very good kings. Their citizens are suffering. And not only that, the citizens have come to us for shelter, and we see that there's a good opportunity that we could be successful in defeating this person and correcting the administrative position of the kingdom. Right? That's a bona fide reason for a king to invade the next kingdom, because protection is not going on. That's what Kshatriyas do. So they're not doing it, we'll do it. Okay. But that's not the reason that it's going on. Here's Duryodhana, who has insulted their family. Duryodhana is a great manager, right? He has the support of Drona and Kripa and Bhishma and Vidura. So what bad management can go on? Right? So he's there because this is his enemy. Right? But because as a Kshatriya, they're supposed to perform their Kshatriya duties. That means they have to have something to rule, something to protect, and they won't give that. Okay, so then it's in line with the duty. Plus, how he will fight will be according to Shastra. Right? He won't break the rules of Shastra when it comes to the fighting. Okay? And not only that, Krishna, you know, would like to see the place cleaned up. So then, by his fighting, then that will also be accomplished. Okay? So many needs are here. And Krishna expects him to perform his prescribed duty. So depending upon which varna, which ashram one situates oneself in, what service one situates in, then you have prescribed duties. Those have to be taken care of. Now you have the choice to see them in relationship to Krishna, or not knowing how to, not knowing how to, that's one thing, at least that's honest. But saying, oh, it's mundane, and so therefore we don't deal with it. You know, like the, the ostrich, you know, the head in the sand, like that. It's not spiritual, so we'll just bury our head in the sand, and then that way no one will notice there's any Maya, right? We won't talk about it, you know, like in the West. No one talks about death. We just don't talk about it. You know, you can do that all you can't do that. But, and by doing that, then somehow or other makes it go away. Right? It's a great process, you know. You should try it sometime. One of the easiest places to try it is on one's day-to-day life. Like that. You just finesse it, don't talk about it, and hurry ball. Right? But Krishna is trying to point out is, no, even these desires will fulfill if you see it in connection to Him. Right? Does that make sense? You need money, you need position, you need facility. If you see that in connection with Him sincerely, that just doesn't mean you say you see it in connection. Oh yes, it's all for Krishna. Like that. You know, but, you know, okay. Why? Okay, you have such a nice house. Yes, all for Krishna. We do programs and that here. Yes, but I noticed that the bedroom and the bathroom and everything, that's really, really big and fancy, but this front room here that you say you're going to do the programs in, you know, is not so well developed and all that. No, but the devotees sometimes need to use the bathroom and all that, and inside your closet they use them there also, you know. So when we say we see it in connection with Krishna, it means it's like that. Don't just say that. It sounds nice, it sounds great. You'll definitely get some nice position in society. Oh, very sincere, serious devotee. You know, always like, you know, always about Krishna. Great. But the point is, as Krishna says here, it's between Him and you. Right? The other devotees may appreciate, but it's between you and Krishna on whether Krishna appreciates. Right? He's in the heart. He's Chaitanya Guru. He's the one that gives you the faith. He's the one that does all these things. But if you're sincere, you get it. Right? Not, it doesn't happen. So this whole operation of this, these prayers Brahma offered, this whole process that Brahma's gone through, then is based on his sincerity. Right? This is being brought out by Jiva Goswami. Because this verse that quotes that, this ninth chapter, I think it's fourth verse, where Krishna was pleased by Brahma's penances, and that therefore he revealed himself, he quotes it, I don't know, 10, 15 times in different angles. So it's a very, very important consideration, is Brahma's sincerity. And then it mentions, he cannot fulfill the whims of non-devotees. Like this. Catch this fun part here. He cannot fulfill the whims of non-devotees, right? Even when such casual devotees offer him the best of prayers. Right? In other words, when one is not being devotional, a casual devotee, when he's not being devotional, Krishna can't fulfill those needs. Right? But when the devotee, even though he has material desires, wants to fulfill them in connection with Krishna, then Krishna will fulfill them. Very subtle. Fulfill the whims of non-devotees. Yes, the non-devotees are left out. It means the karmis, jnanis, yogis, like this. But when such casual devotees, then it includes that. So this is a Vedic technique, is where in one verse, it actually has double meanings. It fulfills many, many elements like that. So here is this applies. He can't fulfill the whims of the non-devotees. That's clear. But also the material whims that have no connection to Krishna of the devotees. Both then he avoids. Like that. So one has to be careful that one is aware of these things. As Prabhupada mentions, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. So when you're conscious, then that conscious element can be engaged in Krishna service. But if you're not conscious, how it will be engaged? And it says very soon, it doesn't mean immediately, right? You have to remember one lifetime of Brahma is 3/4 of a second for Mahavishnu. So it can mean, you know, whenever Krishna sees it is good to fulfill. Like that. So any questions on this or comments? Yes.
There's a point in the end of the part where the Krishna doesn't fulfill the desires of non-devotees. And also in the beings of physical desires, because Krishna actually loves us, and then because of that there's a relationship, and there's a one task to feel bad, because we do something crazy and we suffer for it. So if there's a connection also like that.
No, not fulfilling because we do something foolish.
Then we do something, yeah.
Out of affection. Yes, that's there, but there's also sometimes that he fulfills it out of affection, both. But the point is when it's seen in connection with Krishna, then it's fulfilled. If it's not in connection with Krishna, then because at that time we think we're the controller and the enjoyer, then according to your karma you'll get or not get. But sometimes even then Krishna may withhold or give, you know, based on that principle, if it will wake one up. Sometimes by fulfilling the desire, one sees its foolishness. Sometimes by not getting it, you see its foolishness. Either way works, like that. But Krishna will, knowing who we are, then he'll choose which is the best, depending upon our sincerity. Some people, their desires are fulfilled, and that takes them away from Krishna, because that's actually what they want. They're looking for an excuse to go away. They can't find one. It's too obvious. You know, of being Krishna conscious is the right way and anything else won't work. So then it becomes a dilemma for the devotee. Now, Krishna wants that devotee to be voluntarily serving him, because that's the main point, is voluntary. Right? So then they get stuck there, because they want to fulfill this desire, but they can't as a devotee. So then rather than have them dream up some nice little, you know, philosophy that will authorize their nonsense, better the desires fulfilled and they just go away. Because a sensual deviation is not as bad as a philosophical one. Right? It means sensual deviation may have effect for a short time. Philosophical, you may be wrestling with that for thousands of lifetimes. Right? Because you created it as a rule on which to guide your value system. So that's much more important. While the devotee who is engaged in nonsense knows it's nonsense, right? They're honest. They don't necessarily want to be involved in it. They may get overwhelmed by it, either by the desire so much so they're there, or it just happens and they're not aware of it. But in any case, it's not there. They don't say it's good. So they're still considered well situated, still considered saintly. But someone who makes a philosophy that it's okay, they're not rightly situated and they won't get anything. That's insincerity. Like that. It may look better, it may sound better, the ego is good, like that. You know, all the guys could sit around and nod their heads about how, you know, practical they are in that, but it's nonsense. And they're not honest enough to admit it. And the fun thing is that they'll use as an argument for their position that they're being honest. But they're the most dishonest people, because they're creating bogus philosophies. Right? But someone who essentially gets distracted, that's seen as less. Right? Ajamiyo had no philosophy like that. Therefore, he's in the Bhagavatam. Right? He didn't have a philosophy. He just got distracted and got so absorbed in it. And then, when he got woken up, you know, maybe even rudely awoken to the facts of things, then immediately he just took up his service where he left off. Like that. You know, of course, there was basically a 60-year gap, or maybe more, almost 70-year, at least 65-year gap. Because he was in his, I think, teens or early 20s when he got distracted, because he would have been married. So that means he would have been in late teens or in his 20s. And then it was only when he was 88 that he pulled out. Yes, you have an exact date.
Another question on the design.
On?
Sometimes when you join the movement, you have certain desires. You think, I'll just take up the movement and everything will disappear, or a lot of times the frustrations and environment. You check for many years and at a month age, they seem to come back, like you have to face them again.
Yes.
Why does that happen? And when do you know that you have faced them and kind of digested them and, you know, really got rid of them?
Digested them like Augustine digested Vatapi or something. Anartha come out. No, they've been digested. So the question is that, okay, one comes to the movement, one's full of all kinds of bristling with desires, and one chance they seem to go away, and then another time they raise their nasty little heads, and that, or nasty big heads, you know, whatever. And then, so how do you know when they've been overcome? Means you have many things overlapping here. But the general principle would be giving up of desires, material desires, is voluntary. And you need to be voluntary means you need to be conscious. Right? A voluntary decision means I'm conscious of what the choices are, I make a choice. So therefore, when one takes up Krishna consciousness, one is conscious, one is aware of the choice. And one voluntarily takes up Krishna consciousness over material desire. So that is more prominent in the consciousness. Therefore, these others, you know, basically fall to the wayside. But now, it doesn't mean that the root of them's gone away. Maybe details has gone away. You know, one's attraction to this particular material item has gone away. But the attraction to that that category of material desire may not have. That's the seed. Right? Does that make sense? So your attachment to this particular car maybe has gone away, but maybe to cars hasn't gone away, right? But because one is busy in devotional service, that doesn't become very prominent. But after generally 3 or 4 years, then these things start popping up again, right? So then, in that, now what it is you didn't want these. You took up Krishna consciousness, gave up material desire. right? You engaged in Krishna consciousness, so details have gotten up. Now it's being brought up by the power of the service. Do you want to get rid of the generic? Sometimes the detail will be tested again, but generally it's a generic. Right? So it's all it is means if these things are coming up, it's not, oh, now more material desires, it was so much easier before. No, now all you have to do is, like before, just say, I'm not interested. And just as before, you said, I'm taking Krishna over Maya, and then those desires went away and you're absorbed in his service, when they come up, you just let go of them. Right? Brahma shows that example. Right? When he's creating, then so many times he gets basically attacked by these material consciousness. So he just leaves that material, that subtle body. That means it's a mental body. So it means that consciousness or that idea that comes up is just left. Leaving it, at least the one that came up is gone. How many are in there, that's another thing. So if you get attacked by so many of them, that means that many is in there. But if they come up and then you contemplate them and all that and start to plan how to fulfill, they go back in. Does that make sense? So it's the process of cleaning. Prabhupada mentions you have a nice clear pond and it looks like there's no dirt, but if you just shake it a little bit, so much dirt comes up. So this is that dirt coming up. So now you can clean it off. Because it's only by action that you get results. So you've taken, by faith, taking Krishna over Maya, you got your result. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. And now we come to Anartha Nivritti. So Anartha Nivritti, then it's a dynamic process. You have to now again agree that you want to get rid of the specific anarthas, you know, and that over just the generic, okay, material world, leave that, take up the spiritual. Right? So now it's a matter within this, then being very specific about what material you've left, right, and what spiritual you're accepting. Does that make sense? And if that works for you, then that means you can understand this from the process. If you're finding that once overwhelmed by it can do nothing about it, that may be from offenses. Right? Because what will also happen about the same time after some years is that one becomes confident in chanting the holy name, following the principles, following the practices of sadhana bhakti. Up to that time, one would generally be concentrated, focused on oneself, finding what's wrong, correcting it, and everything. But once one gets confident, then one switches that, and now uses that, instead of saying, oh, others are confident, other devotees, sadhu sangha, right, is that I take advantage of that and I want to become like that. Now you think I am the sadhu, and now you find the fault in everyone else. Right? So, but Lord Chaitanya showed in the cleaning of the Gundicha Mandir that there's a dual layer of this process. The first is go through and all the rocks and branches and twigs and clumps of dirt and all that, and the main sweeping, that you clear out first. So that's situating yourself in Krishna consciousness. But then after that, then he went back and get all and all the cracks and everything, all the fine dirt. So Prabhupada mentions that this is like, first we're getting rid of the gross things that are opposed to Krishna consciousness. Then the second cleaning is getting rid of the fine. But most devotees have a tendency to not understand this, so they don't take up the fine. That's when you take up contemplation, that's when you take up that kind of like, absorption, means not absorption. Yeah, contemplation on one's own advancement, one's own needs, what position one's actually at. Okay, so much has been taken care of, now what's left? Now work on that. Right? And so that one has these things, it's not a problem. The problem is not acknowledging them and not working to get rid of them. Right? Does that make sense? The ostrich formula, that's a problem. But that you have material desire, that's not the problem. Right? Means that somebody is covered from head to foot in mud from being outside. That's not the problem. The problem is why aren't they in the shower? Right? So if they're standing outside the shower and saying, no, it's practical and all this, you know, keeps off the mosquitoes and, you know, stuff like that, and then it's a problem. But if they're in the shower taking a bath, you don't point out, oh, he's dirty. No, he's in there getting clean. Does that make sense? So that element is very important. Then it will go. So one has to judge that. Otherwise, sometimes the overwhelming of material desire is offense. And sometimes it's just the heart's being clean. These are the things that are coming up. You've told Maya, I want this. Now Maya's going, okay, here it is. You want it? Right? You know, that's it. You know, one devotee was telling me, you know, after he had joined, then I forget how long it was, but after some months or some time that he happened to be walking down some street, walks around the corner and walking around the corner the other way was his previous girlfriend. Right? So here's your choice. You know, do you turn around and then walk the direction she's going, or just, you know, say Hari Bol and keep walking? You know what I'm saying? So these things are done, because before it was, this girl's very important to me. Right? So Maya has noted that. And now you've taken up Krishna consciousness. Okay, you're distracted by these things. Now, okay. Now what? Like that. The shoe fits. Here with someone else. Yes?
You were mentioning many times the word sincere. So I was trying to, and Latin sincere, sin means without, and ser is the person, it's without the ego.
Oh, okay.
We use this constantly sincere, and after you start rotating to our desires, be sincere in getting this, very sincere in getting this position of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. Actually, the meaning of the word is nothing for me. Sin me, without me.
Mm. Okay.
So how we can just, we overlook the quality that the word means, we start rotating into something material. Like now prema in India, they use prema for everything.
Love.
Why don't we see the quality in the word?
Why don't we see the quality in the word? Probably because, kind of like the world is kind of led by those who speak English, and English is a art. It's not as it's practiced now. It's not a language. It's an art form. It's not a science of language. So the connection between the root and meaning of the word and the usage has nothing to do with each other, right? Just like if you hear some people on the street talking, you might not even know what they're talking about. Right? It's just because the words they use, the meanings they attribute to them, are different than what they maybe were when they were Latin or Greek or Sanskrit. You know, even if they, when they were French and German, you know, it's just, or Anglo-Saxon. They just use them very differently. You know, they have some concept, okay, you take a little bit, okay, so that's a bite, you know, why a bite, why not a chomp, why not a portion, you know, yeah, so I have a giga portion hard drive, you know, maybe, but it's just, somebody brings it up, they just use it that way. So that's a difficulty. So they don't actually connect the meanings of the words to that. So someone's using the language one way, someone's using it another. And that probably creates the biggest amount of misunderstanding in the Western world, because they don't actually have they don't know what language is, so they don't actually know how to communicate. They consider themselves great communicators, but they don't actually know how to communicate, because they don't know how to define words. What are the synonyms of words? Only their definition is the only definition. So it's a problem. It's actually a social problem. Because of that's why in the Vedas, after the Veda, the next most important books of knowledge to learn was language. Right? Yeah, it was the whole Yastiksha Chanda Vyakaran Nirupta. Right? What was the words? What was the grammar that held them together? What was the different poetic ways to speak them? Right, because they couldn't be spoken non-poetically. Right, you're humans; you have to speak nicely. Dogs bark; humans speak poetry, and it must have the proper tonal quality and everything like that. So the tone must be right. The means the words should be right. The mood in which they're used should be right. they should be structured properly according to their actual meaning, and you should use a word that's appropriate for what you want to say in the context. Right? So that then makes human life. That's the next. Then after that, that human being then performs sacrifice. Right? So then kalpa is next. And then that sacrifice is judged by, astronomy, what's the proper time. In other words, an activity should be done according to proper time, place, and circumstance. Right? Now you have to have a philosophy to judge that. Right? How do you judge it? You take advantage of how other people have applied it. Right? Then you have what are the rules upon which they applied it. And then you have the actual grammar of communication. That's all the branches of Vedic knowledge right there. All of them. Everything else fits into that. But you see, the whole point is to be able to understand, value something, and interact with others. To be able to communicate, be able to follow others' lifestyle. There's not something else in the Vedic literatures. It's generally made out to be something dry and boring, but I went through all the books right there. There isn't another topic. Right? So then, that's the idea. It is a problem in that. That's why Prabhupada wanted the devotees to know Sanskrit, because at least you know some language. Then you work by what is the meaning of the thing. But even if you know the grammar and all that, doesn't mean you apply it in your life. You may get distracted by material desire, so you don't apply it either. So the main problem, ultimately, is just distraction by material desire. And the pride that goes with it, that you think you're right, so therefore you can't accommodate that there's some other perspective. So when Krishna says sincere, what he means is, Prabhupada gives him the purport, ingenuity. You're using your intelligence and your abilities how to find Krishna. Ingenuity, that's considered sincere.
Genius is defined in the dictionary as indwelling deity.
Indwelling deity. Okay. So, because you're supposed to find Krishna inside and outside, directly and indirectly. That's the instruction. So when in all times, all places, all circumstances, you're trying to see Krishna, that's called sincere. Right? You're using your ingenuity, how to understand, how to see, according to your ability. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to be a great scholar; you just have to be trying, like that. Yeah. Okay. We'll end here, and then we'll continue with questions after 5 minutes. Okay. Chahu. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jagatai Gauru Vedakati.